Hello and welcome to another episode of Warm Blanket, the podcast where we embark on a journey to see what makes us feel good about Star Trek, where is our love comes from, and what it means for us. In short, what is our warm blanket? My name is Gary, I'm your host, and I'm very honored to welcome here Ian, better known as Trek Cat Cat. He's an amazingly talented builder, an uplifting Trekkie, a cosplay marvel, with a very open and cheerful personality that the Star Trek community would be weaker without. Let's give a warm welcome to Ian. How are you, good sir?
I'm very well, Gary. I'm very well, thank you. I'm going to slap you down straight away.
Oh, boy.
Because you missed it. There's actually there's three cats in there.
Trek Cat Cat Cat? Oh,
yeah,
my
god. It is.
There you go. Me trying to be a good host,
nice
and I messed it up.
You messed it up. Why do you say that? What was it? Irish Trekkie Damien turned around and said, "Oh, I should have four in there." I think no, four's too much. He went cat 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 cat. I went no, that's a machine gun.
So how did you end up with free cat in your name?
Actually a really simple question. Answer, sorry. I was looking for a handle. I was new to social media. This was about 3 years ago. So I sat there with my partner and I said, well, what can I do? It's got to be Star Trek. It's got to be Trek. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, let's put it in. We own three cats. That's put it in. And it was literally as simple as that. It was Star Trek and three cats. It wasn't going to be the name. I could not have Trek Taylor, Tommy, and the other one. And I just thought, no, it's got to be Cat Cat Cat. So that was the birth of Trek Cat Cat about 3 years ago, and that's when I started all of this on Instagram.
So you started 3 years ago with three cats and with a Trek handle. That's,
yeah.
That's too much of a coincidence.
Well, unfortunately, I'm only down to two now. So one of them died after that. Bless him. Yeah, Teddy. He was cracking. But I've got two. There's still a handful, but they're there.
Are you one of those cat owners who watch Star Trek with their animals? Because I know I've seen countless of pictures online seeing that, oh, my dogs just watched Star Trek The Next Generation while I was watching it and like got so mesmerized. Have any of your cats ever did that?
On very, very odd occasions. The rest of the time, one of them's either asleep on the bed and the other one's out. So, it's gonna be. I've just heard the other one. He's screaming, so he's gonna want some food. So I'm gonna close the door. But yeah, no, it's very rarely that they will sit down. And if they are with us when we watch TV, 9 times out of 10, they're fast asleep.
Silent partners.
Yes. Yeah.
So, Ian, thank you very much for joining me today. It's really a pleasure. I mean, we're following each other for ages now. We have quite a few interaction on Twitter, and I remember when I had my Trekker Prize Instagram handle, we actually followed each other as well.
Yeah.
But I deleted myself foolishly, or I don't know, for some reason, about a year ago. But you've been always so supportive of Trekker Prize, and you've always like being so positive out there. And thank you very much. And you know, now I happen to thank you for your support in person, which is an awesome thing to have. And as many of us know, and we are living in a lockdown situation right now, and you did a fair amount of redecorating that. I know we touched on before we started recording this episode, but I always been a DIY person myself. At least I tried my best, and seeing your work on, you know, you posted quite a few of your work on Twitter, seeing like how they reface the cabinet or finish the room.
Yeah.
There's an important question I wanted to ask. What was the Star Trek music you listened during this refurbishing?
I believe it was all. It was near enough all the soundtracks. I am quite lucky. I have all of them,
mm-hmm.
from TMP all the way through to Picard. I have Picard as well. So I just, it hit random, and away it came. But there was it was all Star Trek bar one album, which was Star Wars, and that was Rogue One.
Not even any classics, just
no. it's I like the Star Wars music, but there's it's I can't listen to it. I can't listen to it. It's there. Whereas all the Star Trek music, I love. You know, Jerry Goldsmith is the king of Star Trek soundtracks. But I think Jeff Russo has quite adequately taken over that mantle. And Michael, and I can't pronounce his surname, who did the Kelvin films.
Agiaccio?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I pronounced it right either.
Yeah, no. I mean, I what made my day was I posted saying, I'm listening to Star Trek, and I put I just put four albums up. I put the motion picture, Insurrection, Star Trek Beyond, and Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And I went, there's there. And both of them liked my post. I went, yes, they like the post. But yeah, I do listen to predominantly Jerry Goldsmith, Michael and Jeff Russo, but I listen to them all.
Do you have a favorite soundtrack?
The motion picture.
And within the motion picture?
Enterprise. Enterprise, because that's obviously where we get the Star Trek, the Starship porn as well. Mm-hmm. It's that piece of music. There's actually two pieces on that soundtrack. If you get the, I think it's a 3-disc version, and it's the original score for the Enterprise, and there are certain elements between the two, but Robert Wise said to Jerry Goldsmith, he said it doesn't have a theme. There is no theme to it, and Jerry Goldsmith went away, and then he came up with the theme of what, as we know now, for Star Trek, and so the two Enterprises. Nearly there, but you can tell the difference between the two. But yeah, no, Enterprise is my favorite track on that one.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you very much for this insight. That's really, really good to know what everyone listened to. I mean, I'm not sure which one I go back to normally, but I do enjoy bits and pieces from every single series. Mm. And with favorites, I don't have a favorite. Because I love all of them.
Yeah.
So that really, going back to the original series and talking about motion picture, how did you get introduced to Star Trek? Or rather, how did you get introduced to Star Trek?
My kids, my parents were fed up of me, and they just stuck me in front of the TV to just watch it.
You've been bad. You've been have to watch Star Trek. That's your punishment.
Yeah, you just shut up and watch this. And it wasn't. It was a little bit like that, but no. I had always liked, as a kid, cowboys, science fiction, and squashbuckling, those type of things I'd always watched. But it was in the early, you know, a long, long time ago, Star Trek came up. Both for me, it was the TOS and TAS. It was round about the same time, and it was the colours and everything. It captured my imaginations. And it was then. And then, obviously, I was watching it, and my dad got interested and started watching it with me. So we used to watch that. My mother just thought it was just utter tosh, and she stayed in, did whatever she was doing. And me and my dad watched that when I was a kid. So, yeah, it was the original series and the animated series. That was on a Saturday morning when I was a kid. So, yeah, I loved them both. So when people always used to say that the animated series is not part of canon, it's not there, I would say, well, it is. It's been on TV. It's there. But we found sort of late, as you know, they've used it in Enterprise, it's elements from the animated, and it comes along there. So it made it. It's canon, and everybody's happy. So that was really my introduction. And that was because obviously that's all it was when I was a kid. There was no TNG, there was no movies. A couple of years later, obviously the motion picture came out, and then when I was older, Then the Next Generation came out, but we had the movies. So it was the movies. So it's always been Kirk and Spock. It's always been there for me, and that's the bit I've always watched, and that's what I'm most comfortable with. Except for DS9. I love DS9. Really do love DS9. It goes sort of TOS, DS9. Well, actually, maybe looking at it, the new Star Trek will become number two. Strange New Worlds, because I got a feeling it's going to go back to that feel of Star Trek. I'm hoping so. Yeah, but at fingers the moment, fingers crossed. Yeah, Deep Space Nine is the second one that I really do like. I do really love. Yeah.
That's awesome. So we touched on, obviously, the hype is on at the moment of this recording, because we literally just found out yesterday that we're going to have a new show with Captain Pike and Spock and Kirk. Being a hardcore TOS fan and, you know, experiencing the new shows like DS9 or Voyager that are coming out, and what do you think changed? Or do you feel as excited as like when you got like DS9 or Voyager or Enterprise coming out?
Yeah, I mean, I was never, when they first came out, I was never excited about Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise, because I had it all the way growing up. I still watch the films, but TV side, I sort of shied away from. As I've mentioned before and earlier to yourself, that I was in the Air Force. So in the late 80s, all the way through to about 99, I was in the Air Force. And it was the Star Trek films and some of TNG. I hadn't watched all of TNG, but TOS was always there as well, but predominantly the films. So I really didn't watch them until many, many years later. And I was very dubious about Deep Space Nine, because I'd sort of bought into the negativity a bit, where people were saying it's not Star Trek, it's on a space station. And I just thought, okay, I won't watch it. But then when I said, right, I'm really going to get into this, thankfully I met my partner who loves Star Trek nearly as much as I do, not quite. She was, you know, she said, so I went, okay, damn it, I'm going to watch it all. And I watched it from the cage all the way through to the last episode of Enterprise. And that's when I got excited about Deep Space Nine, because I ignored everything anybody else said, and I thought, I'm going to watch it for its own merit, and it's going to be what I want. Nobody else is going to make that decision for me, and I'm glad I did, because it's a fantastic series. Voyager, I really just couldn't get into. Couldn't get into Voyager. And I will admit again that I thought I've got to try again. I watched The Caretaker and I fell asleep three times. I just kept stopping it, waking up, putting it back on, fell asleep, and then I just couldn't. But I did watch an episode the other day, and it was Neelix leaves Voyager.
Oh yeah, season 7.
Yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. I thought, that's great, because obviously I've met Ethan Phillips, I've met quite a few people with the cast, but that episode just captured me, and I just watched, because it was on the Horror Channel, because obviously we have it on the Horror Channel over here in the UK. So it was on, and I thought I'd watch it, and normally I just have it on the background, but I sat down and I just watched it, and I thought, this is a great piece of Star Trek science fiction TV and everything else. But that is where I really fell in love with Star Trek again. It must have been about 15 or so years ago that I really decided I was going to watch it all the way through. And I watched it as it was aired. So as I said, yesterday at the cage, went through, went to TNG, how many years into TNG I started with Deep Space Nine, you know, and then TNG finished, Voyager started, and I, because I had this, because thankfully somebody wonderful has posted on the internet, and I wish I could say who, they put every episode in order as it from air date. So I just went to this page, okay, what episode am I going to watch now? That's the episode, and watched it, and I went all the way through.
Well, I know Sean, to give him a bit of a mention here, Sean Trek on the Tube, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He actually, I think, I'm not sure if you've seen it from him, but he has a list as well, and in regards of, and he, I think he started rewatching Star Trek with his wife in the order, just as you did, and it's a really interesting thing to do, which I must say I should try, because having that, you know, moment that you have like one TNG episode and two DS9 and one Voyager and three TNG and two Voyager and one DS9, that must be a really interesting experience to, you know, have them overlapping each other.
Yeah, I think you also really do get to see the differences. I think my biggest criticism for Voyager is they don't seem to, the characters, there's no growth. Is even with like the older ones, you still seem to be I think they tried to recapture what TOS had. I think they tried, and I think unfortunately they didn't succeed. You had right at the very start, you had the tension between Starfleet and Marquis, and that had the potential of really being some good television. But about, I don't know, 5-6 episodes into season one, they forgot about it. They're all a happy Starfleet crew. And it's there. I think Chakotay is a very underutilized character.
I agree with that. You as well.
And, you know, obviously ratings went up when they got 7 of 9, obviously, because there was teenage boys wanting to watch TV. And obviously Jerry Ryan, but I think Jerry Ryan is sexier in Picard than she was in Voyager. Because I'm an older man and she's an older woman, and that's probably what it is. But I've let me look it out of the bag, and Caroline, my partner, is going to go, what did you say? I said, she is.
It's platonic. It's platonic. It's allowed.
Yeah, plus we've actually seen, because obviously Jerry Ryan was on the latest cruise. She was on, obviously, with Jonathan Del Arco. So there was a bit of a Picard presence for that one. So Voyager was never really captured my imagination, and I've always got it. I've got it there. And Caroline's going to hate me for saying this. She said, I can't watch this. She's Kate Mulgrew's voice. She sounds like she smokes 100 cigarettes a day. And it was just there. So there's Caroline likes my partner. She likes the newer Trek. She loves Enterprise because she's a big fan of Scott Bakula. But Discovery, Picard, she loves. And I enjoy watching it. But I also enjoy seeing her reaction to it as well. That makes it a little bit more special, because that's something we share. And, you know, we really do love that. It's like when Picard was out, it was every Friday night, Picard night. We'd sit and watch, and that was, you know, we'd sit and we wouldn't discuss it, but we'd say, did you enjoy that? Yes, we are. So, and plus we've had some really lucky times. So we were at the premiere, Square.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And also we got invited by Netflix to go to an episode as well, so we went to London.
Lucky chap.
I'm very lucky. Anybody who think, god, these people are really, really lucky, or they're special, no, we just got invited, don't know how, but
randomly picked.
Sonequa Martin-Green was there, Jason Isaacs and Shazid Latif were there as well, so because they did a question and answer at the end, after the end of the episode, which is where I actually, and I've got it on film, where Jason
Isaacs,
yes, he called in Jonathan Riker. And they're going, Frakes, Frakes. And he went, oh God, yeah, Jonathan Frakes. I'm really, really sorry, because he had directed the episode.
Yeah.
But he called in Jonathan Riker. So, and I do have that on film.
You have to share it out at one point. When it's declassified, and get the declassified state.
Well, I think it was for season one. So yeah, that's it. It's out the bag now. And I actually, last year we got to meet Jason Isaac, because he was on the cruise last year.
Mm.
So we've met him and spoke to him on person. So we actually did tell him that we had it on video.
Was he embarrassed by it?
No. He just took it in his stride. I don't think much phases him. He takes everything with good humour,
mm-hmm.
and everything else. So yeah, it was nice meeting him last year.
Talking about the cruise, you've been quite a few of them, and not just in the cruise, but you've been in many conventions. I mean, I remember seeing you in Star Trek Las Vegas as well.
No, we haven't been in Las Vegas.
I remember not seeing you in Las Vegas.
Yeah, no. God knows who you're thinking of. It's not me. But no. We were planning. We sort of tentatively made to say, okay, if we do the cruise, maybe we will go. You know, can we financially make it happen? Thankfully, the decision's been made for us. Mm. We're not going.
No.
So that decision's been made. But I think we will go, but I think that will be the day we decide not to go on the cruise is the day we decide, yes, we're going to go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. How was in the experience in the cruise? Because obviously we talked about it, you have posters that you recently posted on Twitter as well, that you've been in three so far?
Yeah, three. I'm on the fourth next year.
The fourth next year. How are these conventions? And you obviously met so many Star Trek actors.
Yeah.
What was your most memorable encounter over this three-course cruise?
Oh, there are so many. I think that the nicest people that we've met was Kenneth Mitchell and Mary Schieffer.
Mm.
They are, because we, the year before, we'd been to DST, and Caroline was taking a picture of Kenneth, and he clocked her, and he stuck his tongue out, and he just pulled this face, and we've got it, and we had it on our phones, and we went out and said, "Do you remember this?" And he said, "Oh, I remember." And they'd been doing a photo session, and the queue had gone, the line mm-hmm. had pretty much gone, so we spent about 10 minutes just shooting the breeze, mm-hmm. as it were, talking to them. They're really, really nice people. And Kenneth Mitchell is naturally a very funny man. Mm-hmm. It's sad what's happened to him.
Mm.
I think it was very hard on the first day of this year when he came out on the wheelchair.
Yeah.
Because he'd only just announced about his illness,
mm-hmm.
and we could see it, and the way he spoke, there was not a dry eye in the place. Mm-hmm. There was tears all over the place, but you know, he had a great time. He thoroughly enjoyed it. He came over and chatted to us. We were just eating. Mm-hmm. We'd been on an excursion, mm-hmm. and we'd come back, and we just sat in the canteen area, and he comes along in his wheelchair and starts chatting, and he said "What's that tattoo on your arm?" And I said "Oh, it says Caroline." And he says, "Well, what happens if you're never together again?" I said, "No, that's fine, it'll never happen." But he's there. So yeah, obviously Kenneth Mitchell, Jason Isaacs last year was very, very funny. We were just on the boat going back to the ship, mm-hmm. and I think he thought, "They're Brits, I need to speak to somebody British." So we chatted for about 10-15 minutes afterwards. Mm-hmm. Obviously we told him about the video, and mm-hmm. then we got onto the ship, and Jason's followed behind us, and then we're looking for the lift to go to our bit. And I'm at the lead, Caroline's behind me, Jason Isaacs is behind him. Bob Picardo's behind him saying, do you know where you're going? I'm going, no, we're just following you. So you've got these, you know, half the Star Trek crews is sort of following. So
it's like, yeah, the leading character is asking you where to go.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, and they're thinking, do you really know where you're going? I'm like, how do I say this politely? No. But yeah, Max Grobnicek, lovely people. I don't think I've got a really bad, I think the only regret we did, we never really got to see René Auberjonois. He was on the cruises, but you never really got to see him outside the you know, in the cruise bit. You'd see him very briefly, but you couldn't chat to him. And of course, he's dearly departed. So, you know, everybody said, they said, well, you know, was he lying? We don't know. We never got to speak to him. But, I was going to say, Marina Sirtis is very gracious, because I mentioned this story just in a previous podcast, but it is funny. Walking along, there is a casino, and the stars host casino nights, because the final bit is the big bit, and it's Ken Mitchell's bit and everything else. And I went, there's Marina Sirtis over there, go and say hello. Because Caroline always gets mistaken for being Marina when she's in cosplay. It's Deanna. I said, come and speak to her. And she said, no, I'd had a couple of drinks by this time, and I old as brass. And I went, excuse me, Marina. And she said, yeah. I said, my girlfriend, she's always getting mistaken for being me. I mean, yeah. Thankfully, Caroline got her a selfie with her. So she's very gracious and everything else. Thankfully, I don't think I gave away that I was really half cut with the alcohol, but we'll never know.
Yeah, no, they are fantastic. And I keep just, you know, I met a few of them as well in DST a couple of years ago. Never really had the chance to meet many of them, but that handful experience that I had, it was really amazing. And it is true that they are normal human beings, and getting to know them, how they are and what they are, and not getting to know them. I mean, I remember I always wanted to meet Major Barrett, you know, Laksana Troi. Like, she was one of my dream to meet, and Scotty DeForest Kelly. Would have loved to meet these guys, but it reminiscence, going back to just to think about these people, like how many amazing people have been there and we weren't able to meet, unfortunately, because, you know, I wasn't around when they were alive. So, and you know, the circumstances, I wasn't even in the US, and I've never been in the US before. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Going back to the roots, and you know, how you get introduced to Star Trek, how did the show affect your life in terms of profession that you took, or in terms of, you know, mindset? Were there any anything?
I really honest answer, I really don't know. It was sort of around about that time I did say, I'm going to join the Air Force. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be in the Air Force. I came from a family that had quite strong ties to the military anyway. Both my grandfathers had served in the army. Mm-hmm. Actually, my paternal grandfather was at Dunkirk.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So he, you know, he never spoke about the war. I didn't know my paternal grandfather. So it's my maternal grandfather is at Dunkirk. My paternal grandfather was in the army, but he died just before I was born, so I never knew him. My father had been in the Navy. I've had some second cousins in the Air Force, so I'd always had that strong military tie. But I'm not too sure whether Star Trek did affect it, but maybe it did. I mean, I got persuaded to sort of get a trade As such, I became an electronics technician. So I dealt with communication systems, I dealt with radars, all those type of things, as well as being a serviceman. So yeah, it was 12 years. So I joined when I was 18, and I spent 12 years in there. I was glad to leave. I think I was getting a bit stale at the end of the 12 years. But in retrospect, I'm very proud of what I did in the Air Force. I think I identified more after when I left the Air Force, because I was non-commissioned. So Chief O'Brien.
I was thinking about Mr. Scott, but because yeah, of the, well, because Scott, of the strong TOS connection, but
yeah, but no, Scotty was an officer, and you didn't interact with officers. They told you what to do and you did it, and that's pretty much what it is. So now I identify more with Chief O'Brien on the engineering side. Always wanted to be the captain and everything else, but I think it's more Chief O'Brien. He's the person I identify the more, because he is an enlisted man.
That's awesome. So he's your spirit animal in a sense.
One of them. Yeah. I think I have a plethora of spirit animals.
Who's the leader of the spirit animals in your plethora?
Kirk and Spock. Kirk and Spock. They've always been. Kirk, obviously, when I was a kid, because everybody wanted to be James T. Kirk when they were a kid.
Naturally.
Older I got, the more I wanted to be like Spock. Mm-hmm. You know. I'm too emotional. I can't keep it in. I wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I try to mask my emotions, and I can't. If you know, I've been told so many times, I have an awful look of disdain with some people when I can't hide it. So I aspire to be Spock, but I fail miserably.
So there's one thing I wanted to ask you ever since I know you. I mean, and ever since I've seen you posting pictures, you in different uniforms. How many uniforms do you have?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
You lost count of the 500.
Yeah, I have actually. It's awful. You think people thinking, how much money does this guy have to spend on uniforms? I am not rich. But I do spend an awful lot of money on uniforms. I've got a TOS captain's uniform. I have the cage variant to that one as well. I have a TNG uniform, so that is season 3 beyond. I have TNG dress uniform from the films The Insurrection. First Contact. I have the black and grey. I have, oh god, I could keep going on. I have the Voyager / DS9. I've got a couple that I've sort of designed and got there.
That's one of the things I wanted to touch on, especially with the Wrath of Khan variants, because that's something very unique. How did you come up with that, and did you actually make them, or
no? I'm not that good.
I genuinely thought that you are tailoring in a third profession or something, and Garrick. You're like the Garrick of the Star Trek community.
No, I'm as private as Garrick, maybe, but no. No, I've been quite lucky. I've managed to find people that will make them. Yes, I have the. That was just down to a post. Post I did about a year, 2 years ago. And obviously I reposted it recently in Twitter, asking if people would have enjoyed the Wrath of Khan if they'd used the TOS colors. And I saw the picture, and it captured my imagination, and I thought I'd really, really like to do that. And thankfully I found somebody that would make it for me, and I actually wore it. I had my picture taken with Robin Curtis, and she was in full Savick outfit. So she's in her uniform, and I've got the TOS colours, and she was very, very good. She loved it. She loved the colour and everything else. But yeah, no, that's that one. So I got that one. This year on the cruise, I did the mashup for the Wrath of Khan uniform and Discovery. That one was, I saw a picture, but I took the concept and I had to draw it so somebody could make it from there. Mm-hmm. So thankfully I've got a tablet where I can draw on there, so I'd done that and mm-hmm. I'd sent it through to a few tailors, got it made, so we've both got that. And then also on the cruise I did a steampunk TNG.
I think I remember that. And you had something of a variant as well for the TNG uniforms, as the black was white, like almost like a short sleeve.
Yeah, that's the race. We haven't worn it yet. We've got it. It's the race uniform from Voyager.
Oh, okay.
It's the Tom Paris Balana. So it's got the white. It's got the white shoulders, mm-hmm. and it's black. It's black grey with elements of red in there as well. So it's mm-hmm. it's a uniform we have. It's one that I've not worn. We had planned on to do a number of conventions this year, but mm-hmm. that's gone awry. But yeah, now that was one, because I've got a hoodie which is the same, so mm-hmm. I've got that. So yeah, far too many uniforms to mention. But my latest addition that I have got is Picard's Admiral's uniform.
Oh, the Picard one.
Picard. Yeah.
Not the next generation Picard.
Yeah, not next generation. This is from Star Trek Picard. This is mm-hmm. his uniform, where you have the flashback where he's with Raffi, mm-hmm. and he's saying that he's resigned and Starfleet have accepted. Mm-hmm. So it's the black with the red, and he's got the gold. And that arrived about 2 weeks ago, and I was about as giddy as a schoolboy when it arrived. And it fitted. Yes. The one thing when you send them, because a lot of them are made abroad, mm-hmm. and the one thing, the one bit of advice that I will give to anybody that is looking to cosplay is find a seamstress or be able to alter, because they do come in very generic sizing to be. So yeah. if you want something and you want it to feel nice and fit, find a seamstress, or if you do have the confidence to alter it yourself, do that. But I'm lucky I found us. Well, I'm lucky on two regards. Caroline is brilliant with the sewing machine, and we've mm-hmm. also found a professional seamstress that alters mm-hmm. a uniform. So, because there's one uniform we did wear, and unfortunately I can't wear it again because the colour bled, was the Saturday Night Live Love Boat The Next Generation uniform. Patrick Stewart was on Saturday Night Live years ago, and basically the TNG, it's TNG style top, but it's short sleeved, but it's white and red, mm-hmm. instead of the black and red. And I had the hat. The captain's hat, white shorts, white socks, and we've got home, we washed it, and it's now pink. So if there is ever going to be a Pride Star Trek bit, I will probably wear it for the Pride, but unfortunately I can't wear it again because it is now pink and red instead of white and red. Bless.
Or you can reset it to the Pride edition.
Yeah, it'll be
remarketed.
Yeah. Pride The Next Generation. So it could be, but yeah, no, that was that.
That's awesome. And I can relate to totally about the ordering abroad uniforms. It's not Star Trek, but well, coming from Star Trek in a sense, I ordered an Orville uniform because I was so hyped a couple of years ago when it came out. I'm still, but and I was like, yeah. I have a Star Trek uniform. I want an Orville uniform too, and it arrived. I ordered a size up, and I'm not kidding, but I think it was a size down from my size.
I have actually got one better than that. I actually sent off, and I sent them my sizing, so mm-hmm. it was going to be tailor-made to me. Oh my god, it was so big. It was huge. The sleeves came down. You could just about see the tips of my fingers from the sleeves. The waist was for somebody. I think it was about a size and a half bigger than me. The trousers were for somebody who was shorter than me. I had a complete sense of humor failure. My partner Caroline, she rolled over, she found it, and that made it worse for me. She was laughing like, oh God, you look like an idiot, and I felt like an idiot, and I still do have the photographs. When I am one day, I will show and say, beware when you buy Cosby, because it was the dress uniform, it was the white and grey. And I was so proud it arrived. I put it on and I went. It was a WTF moment, and it was huge. And I really did have a sense of humour failure on it, but I got over it, and I managed to get one. So yeah, I feel your pain where it comes, where it's either too small or, in my case, way 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 too big.
But it was so weird. I contacted the seller asking for, you know, if I can send it back or get another parent. They didn't tell me they were like, you know what, you can keep it and we give you back the money. I was like, but it's okay, but I will still have a uniform that I won't be able to wear. So what the hell should I do with it? And it took a while to
sell it on eBay, get rid of it.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. It's either that or
it's horrible. It's horrible to get in. But that brings us to an interesting point, because obviously if you wouldn't love doing the cosplaying and wouldn't love, you know, dressing up as your favorite characters with your partner as well, that this is something definitely that you enjoy, and that's something that definitely comes from Star Trek. How do you will you feel more connected to the franchise when you do like so much cosplaying?
It's a part of it, yeah. It's definitely a part. It gives it a whole new dynamic. It opens doors, because we all know how difficult it is to go up to somebody and speak to them when you don't know them. But I think it makes you a little bit more accessible. The one story I have is obviously the first cruise we went to, we wore the Generations naval uniforms, you know, at the very start of the film where they're on the HMS Enterprise.
Yes.
And obviously Picard saying, oh, this is simpler times, this is there, and they're all in the naval ones. And Worf has got his promotion and he's got to get the hat, and we wore those. I think that was the one time that we felt, now we know what celebrities feel like. Everybody going, oh, can we have our picture taken with you? Can we have this? Can we have this? My cheeks were hurting for smiling so much. Because you could, there's no way you could give that relaxed look face. You had to smile, and we just looked at each other and said, this is so surreal. So I think that's the most extreme reaction we've had on that one. But yeah, obviously we get the beard. I have gone to DST with the beard. So we did do the Riker Deanna thing, and I have permission to grow a beard again when we do the new next one. She hates facial hair, but I have special permission to grow a beard next time. But yeah, I think it opens the door a little bit for people to come and talk to you, say, oh, we love the outfit, can we have our photograph with you? And it's, yeah, it makes it, I think it just makes it a little bit easier for people to come and say hello and have a chat. And even for myself, because I do struggle to sometimes to start a conversation. My social skills are inept at best.
Having this conversation, I have to disagree with you, because I think you're a smooth talker.
Now you see the tongue devil. Yeah. This is totally different. I mean, this is the virtual thing of doing it. I think there is that little bit difference when you're right in front of a person. Unfortunately, Thad. You may know Thad. He's on Twitter.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's really, really nice guy. And he came up to me because I had a Trek Cat T-shirt on. So he said, "Oh, you're." I mean, yeah, get away. No, I didn't. I was very polite. I was there and everything. But I got better as the week went on, because I said, "You've really got to work at it. You've got to work, and I did, and I did improve. But bless him, it wasn't the best first conversation. They'll never choose me for first contact, that's for certain.
Come on. No, but you know, I think deep down, all of us dealt with this, and still sometimes deals with this. I mean, even though I remember the first time when I approached you to be my guest in this podcast, you said, and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to do this, say if I'm not, and I'm gonna cut it out, but I remember you told me that, oh, I've never been in the podcast before, and you know, I'm a bit nervous, and at this moment, I am nervous too. And I was nervous as well. I think you all have this nerve, but you're doing so, you're such an amazing person. You are not just online, but in, I know it's virtual because you know this is how things are at the moment. But I can't wait to meet you in person.
the feeling is mutual. It'll be nice. I mean, I am very lucky. There is a few people that I've met. Damien the Irish Trekkie. I've met Chris the Trek Collector. Great, lovely people. We've actually said next year that we are planning. We're going to look at potentially going to Ireland. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the USS Coughlin guys, we had our picture taken, so it's a lovely memento. They're all in their dress uniforms. We've got our naval uniforms, which we wore for the second time. So we're with the entire the Irish clan, and they were so nice, so welcoming, and everything else. So we've said, and obviously Linda Hen in the Hat said, come on over, you'll have a great time. So I think next year. Because there is this year, I think we can really write off anything that's going to happen this year. Fingers crossed DST may happen. It's November. It's that far down the line that maybe it will happen. But I think next year is everybody's going to go nuts, and they're going to start going to conventions. We'll look at everything. You know, we said we've not had any holidays this year. Well, we have had a holiday. We haven't had the other holidays yet. If we don't, we are going away. She said, we're going away every month. I went, really? I still have to work. we do plan to do a lot more conventions next year.
No, that's definitely a must do. I mean, even for me, I was looking forward to Edinburgh Comic Con close by, but that obviously got blown away as well. Because of this situation, but nevertheless, I never seen this much you know, companionship between fans during this time that I seen now. I mean, obviously the shenanigans were happening before, but now the community is much more together, more active in a sense.
I think we use this phrase Star Trek family. And I think it has made the bonds a lot tighter, as it were. I think we've become more vocal to the naysayers and the vilifiers. There will be the people that, these horrible people that are out there, the gatekeepers as we call them, that will vilify people for liking their Trek. It's their Trek. It's Discovery, Picard, all these people, and these ones are saying, you're not a fan of Star Trek, that's not real Trek, that's not canon. Well, you're wrong. It is their Star Trek. Let people, and I've said this a few times on Twitter, and let people love their Star Trek the way they want to. Don't tell people how to enjoy Star Trek. We all enjoy Star Trek differently, and we should be more open-minded. You know, we came out, Star Trek came out with IDIC, Infinite Diversity and Infinite Combinations. George Takei swears by it, and I believe it too. You know, there is, you know, we're not, none of us are the same. We all enjoy things differently. We all love Trek, but let us enjoy Trek the way we want to. And the people that think we're awful, or then we're not fans, screw you. There is a brilliant thing on Twitter called block. you know, block them, that's the thing. And
Block, mute.
I mean, Wilson Cruz said it on the cruise, because Wilson was on the cruise. He said, you know, these people, these naysayers, if you're going to do that, he said, the wonderful invention, hit block. They can't do it. But I've become a stronger advocate of that, to say, you know, we all love Trek, and let's love it the way we love it.
And I couldn't have said it better myself. So when coming down to all this, when you think about Star Trek, someone from the far out Star Trek, what do you think? What is the first thing that comes to your mind?
Well, I've always said Star Trek to me is hope. Hope that we become better. Better human beings, better people, you know, that we finally do embrace our differences. We get rid of these petty squabbles, these, you know, that's, you know, we still fight each other over religion, we still fight each other over that. But Star Trek, we are a harmonious group, and that's what I hope. You know, I'll be long dead by when that happens, but
I think I will be dead. Even my grandkids will be.
Yeah, the grandkids. But I think it's hope that, you know, Gene Roddenberry's vision of what humanity could be like is actually what happens. I think that's what Star Trek is to me.
So that's what comforts you the most, that idea.
Yeah, that we will become. I have become. The older I've got, and I think the help of Trek on that is mm-hmm. I have become a lot more open-minded about everything. You know, I've made friends in you know, from, you know, America, all those ones, totally different to me, different people, but we've become friends. And it's as I said, it's that diversity between everything that I think makes us great. I think that's you know, what we're about.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I think that's a beautiful note to to end the podcast as well. It's been fantastic to chat with you, and I'm glad that we had the chance to sit down and get to know a bit more about you. Even though you said you're a private person, but I think you shared quite a lot and you opened up quite a lot as well. So I'm glad that I get to experience this side of you. And as I said, just to give you a massive thank you as well for all the support and the following that you've been there for.
Well, you've been just as supportive to me as well. So I mean, that I think that's the one good thing about this Trek family. We do support each other. Mm. You know, there's been new people coming in. You see, come on in. You know, everything's fine. Everything's great, and we do support that. So I you know, it's. I'm always looking to try and pay it forward. I'm of a position where that I can afford a few things, and obviously I've been doing a ready for a giveaway, which mm-hmm. I will hopefully it'll be announced, because obviously we've got this Trek, we've got the Star Trek Con that obviously Hen in the Hat's arranging for people to cosplay on Tuesday.
Yeah,
that's when
19th of May, everyone.
Yeah, that's
but by the time this podcast will be out,
it would have been in the past.
It will be history. Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to slingshot around the sun and get back to it by the time this goes. So I am lucky that I can do giveaways. I've done one on Instagram. I tried to do one earlier this year, but nobody took me up on it. Oh. The Star Wars poster I did for Star Trek, Star Wars Day. I'm sending that off to California this weekend. So I am lucky. I am going to do it, and I will be doing more giveaways. I think if I ever do hit 1,000 followers on Twitter, that is one day one giveaway I'll do. I'm very
You're not so far away from there though.
No, well I'm getting really close to not I'm getting really close to 9,000 followers on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So that will be another one. So yeah, I'm very much we help each other, and I am just lucky that I can pay it forward a little bit more than some other people.
So after all this, if people want to connect with you, which hope they didn't and they listened to this podcast, that two people probably
they'll probably think this guy is like, absolutely nuts. Why would I want to connect to this guy? He's nuts. So but yeah.
No, but jokes aside, where everyone can find you aside from, I mean, you're most active on Twitter and Instagram, obviously.
That's at the moment that is the only two places that I can be found. Obviously, we said it's Trek Cat, and it's the same on both Instagram and Twitter. So that's predominantly where I am. I may venture one day into YouTube, but I'm not so sure. But maybe it'll just be the podcasts. Maybe I'll go into podcasting. But at the moment, it is Instagram and it is Twitter.
Absolutely. Very, very much thank you for this opportunity to talk to you, and thank you for being in the show. And I hope at one point you will be able to get back to the show, because I am planning to do some sidetracks, not just interview based shows, but like going deeper a bit in one or two specific topics in the future. So I really hope that I can welcome you back and we can have a fun discussion.
It's been an honor and a pleasure to be invited onto this, and yes, I think I've been a little bit vocal to say make the discussion groups that I would be interested in. This is my second podcast. I ramble on like there's no tomorrow, but yeah, I would love to do more.
No, and I would love to have you on as well. So again, Ian, thank you very much for being on the show. It was absolutely fantastic. And thank you again for everyone to listening to another episode of Warm Blanket, the podcast where we are in a quest to find out what makes us feel good about Star Trek. And until next time, live long and prosper. And that was it for this episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it, and rest assured, new episode will be coming out every week where we sit down with a Trekkie to find out what makes us feel good about Star Trek, and to discover what is our warm blanket made of. If you really enjoy listening to this podcast, please leave a review on your favorite podcasting app, it would really mean a lot to me. I also would like to give a special shout out to our Patreon supporters, as they really make a big difference on the creation of this podcast. To find out more about how you can support this audio adventure, please visit trekkerprize.com/podcast, where you can also listen to the previous episodes. Thank you again for listening to yet another episode of the Warm Blanket podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode. Live long and prosper.